Persevering saints are resolved to worship God only. And you'll see here that fear God and give glory to Him. We learned that the word glory means weight. God is worthy. And when God is in the scales or the balances, no one else compares. He's the only one that deserves our worship and our adoration. Verse 8, and that brings us to persevering saints rejoice in the fall of Babylon. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. You remember what it means when it's doubled? The thing is sure. The thing is established with God. Heaven has decreed that Babylon is going to fall. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Our message today from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, is on the perseverance of the saints. This is a very important subject to every believer, to know that the Lord, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, will preserve us, will keep us, and one day present us to glory in the fullness of His blessing. And so I hope that you'll stay tuned with us as we turn to Revelation chapter 14 today. But firstly, we have some ministry in song that I trust will thrill your heart and lead you into the presence of the Lord. We're going to turn to Revelation 14, and we'll commence our reading at verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. The word patience here means cheerful endurance. It means their keeping on attitude. And that's really the whole theme of this chapter. So we'll begin at verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another came out of the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters and the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Amen. We'll end our reading there. May the Lord minister to us and help us as we come to this passage of Scripture this evening. God and Father, we thank thee for this time around your word tonight. Lord, we need to have hearts that are focused and minds that are ready to receive the things of God. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit. We thank thee that there is the ministry of the Spirit that enables us to overcome the limitations of the flesh and of our limit of mind. And we pray tonight for light and for delight in the word, and that you will give help here in the pulpit. Lord, I claim the power of the grace of God for this meeting. And thank you, Lord, that you've promised to help. I will be with thee. Lord, be with each of us now. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I've got a number of things that are working against me tonight. Number one, well, the heat. Number two, empty benches. And number three, I have lost the surprise element, because you know exactly where we're going, what we're doing here in Revelation chapter 14, and we're dealing with the perseverance of the saints. And then, of course, some people have been asking me to slow up and explain a few things a little more thoroughly. And that's going to be difficult as well. So we're going to launch in here, and we're going to firstly summarize what we've done, because we got through four major points last week on the perseverance of the saints. And we're just going to give the headings, say a few comments, one or two places, and then press on to 5 and 6. So that raised two major headings tonight. That should keep it short, maybe, and that will keep us focused. So here we go. We start at verse 7. Persevering saints are resolved to worship God only. And you'll see here that fear God and give glory to him. We learn that the word glory means weight. God is worthy. And when God is in the scales or the balances, no one else compares. He's the only one that deserves our worship and our adoration. Verse 8, and that brings us to persevering saints rejoice in the fall of Babylon. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. You remember what it means when it's doubled? The thing is sure. The thing is established with God. heaven has decreed that Babylon is going to fall. And when Christians are in persecution, when they are in trouble by the crushing forces of whatever regime, Satan inspired, Christians rejoice that God has pronounced that Babylon shall fall. Then in verse 9, we learn that persevering saints refuse to accept the mark of the beast. And I hope you remember this. The thing that we noticed about those who take the mark of the beast, that it's linked to false worship. Every time that's referred to the mark of the beast, it is associated with false worship. And so, if you're a Christian, you love the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, you are a Trinitarian, you know that there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you know that it's the God of the Bible, then you are not receiving the mark of the beast, and you refuse to do so. And of course, we talked about the martyrs and those who would refuse to deny the Lord Jesus, to accept emperor worship, to accept idolatry, or to deny their own conscience. And there are many martyrs who, for conscience' sake, chose to lay down their lives rather than worship a false god, false deity, and they could not deny conscience. Now, this is where we need to take a moment. Would you turn with me to Romans 14, Romans 14 and verse 22. Romans 14, verse 22, and this talks about the Christian's conscience. Now, the subject in the chapter has to do with meat that is presented to idols. And that was the issue. And it was a big problem in the church at Rome because there was meat that was dedicated to idols and to false worship and so on. And some had liberty. They felt that they could eat of it. Others felt they could not. And in verse 22, it says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth." In other words, he says, well, it doesn't trouble my conscience. I can allow it, and I can be at peace with it. And then verse 23, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat." Now, he is not sure. He's doubting. He doesn't have the liberty. He is troubled because someone was using this for idol worship. And now I'm buying it in the market and I'm going to be contaminated by this. Well, if you've got a conscience, if you're not free, if you don't feel the liberty, it says, "He that eateth, because he eateth not of faith, he has not that liberty. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, there's a principle. If you feel that something's contaminated, especially to idols and devil worship, and Paul had taught that behind every idol is a devil, and so Christians are going to be very sensitive. Should I eat or should I not? Some said they could, and they would be called the stronger. They have faith to see beyond all that. I'm not worshiping the devil. I'm not bowing to the wicked one. But others who are more sensitive, maybe new Christians, not sure, they are doubting, they're questioning. And the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so you apply that now to that very principle in the later part in John, AD 90, in days of persecution, and you have Christians, because they would not deny their conscience. They would not sell out their conscience because they were exercised that this is wrong. This is wrong. And of course, they were willing to suffer and to be loyal to the Lord Jesus. And that's the question, loyalty to the Lord. And that is something every Christian must aim for and yearn for. Number four, perseverance. We're going to verses 10 and 11. Persevering saints rest in their deliverance from the wrath of God. And you have in these verses this indignation, this mixture, this wrath. Let me just read the verses 10 and 11. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. There's the reason why Christians will not deny the Lord. It's better that the body be killed than that both body and soul be destroyed in hellfire. And this is the motivation for persevering saints. It's better to endure hardship, suffering, even death in this world than to face the wrath of God without dilution. This cup that is overflowing with God's wrath against sin, no Christian wants to put himself into that danger. Now, we learned, of course, that once you're saved, you're always saved. When you are redeemed, bought, you are kept by the power of God. And there are some great verses in Romans chapter 8. Let me recommend that chapter to you. Romans chapter 8, just full of great verses about the security of the Christian. Who shall lay any charge to the God's elect? Talks about who shall condemn, and that if we are united to Christ, we are saved and redeemed forever. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Neither life, nor death, nor principality, nor power, nor any other creature. That's the great statements of Romans chapter 8. And so the Christian is secure in the Lord Jesus. Now the next one is verse 12. And persevering saints recognize God's law as their rule of life. You'll read here, is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, while martyrs need dying grace, earthly living Christians need living grace. And we need spiritual power to obey God, to keep his word, and to keep his commandments. We do not seek death. We do not court the wrath of men. But a Christian wants to have a life that will bring glory to God. How do we do that? For some, it seems very murky. It seems very confusing. How do you live that your life brings glory to God? Well, verse 12 really clears the whole thing up. Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. These early Christians and every generation of Christians is called to keep the commandments. And they recognize this as the rule of life. And every Presbyterian says, duh, did you not know that? That's a given. But did you know that in evangelical Christianity today, there are multitudes of professing what we would call gospel people who deny that the law of God is the rule of life? There are three groups of people in evangelical circles There are Reformed Presbyterians who believe in the continuation of the law. They are continuationists of the law. The law applies in the Old Testament and the New, where Jesus said that he came not to abolish the law. And then there are dispensationalists, those who carve the Bible up into various sections. And they say, well, that was that time frame, and the next section was that time frame. We are now under grace, not under law. And of course, that's partly true. If you're a Christian, you are not saved by keeping the law. Christ kept the law for you. His righteousness is your claim to perfect standard with God. But if you want to know what pleases your God and your Heavenly Father, if you want to know how to glorify Him, you live according to the Ten Commandments, which summarizes the moral law of God. And then there's a third group, and they are the New Covenant evangelical people. And they say that what we do with the Levitical rites and ceremonies, that when Christ died on the cross, there's no more sacrifices, no more ceremonial washings. All of that is Old Testament. In the New Testament, we worship God without sacrifices, without Levites, without earthly priests. We do not need that Levitical way of worship. Well, they do the same thing with the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. They do not distinguish between the Levitical law, the civil law, and the moral law. They lump them all together, and they say that when Christ died on the cross, that all of that is Old Testament, is no longer binding on the Christian whatsoever, unless Jesus made it a command. And many things, of course, the Lord Jesus did make a command. And he talked about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so on. And so the ministry of the Lord Jesus really upholds all the moral law of God. But the area of controversy comes in on keeping the Sabbath, the Lord's day. And you will witness that amongst dispensationalists, amongst new covenant churches, well, they have a whole different attitude about keeping the Lord's day. The vast majority will have a short or a single service on Sunday. They will go to restaurants after that Sunday service. In fact, I noticed something on Sermon Audio just this week that there is a restaurant in the United States, and they're being charged with lack of fairness because they give a 10% discount to Christians who come to the restaurant after morning service if they show the church bulletin. And that, of course, is fair, unfair practice. And so there's all kinds of hullabaloo about that. But why do Christians want to do business on Sunday? Why do they not want to have all of the day for the Lord? And of course, the reason is that they have fallen into this theological trap, web of accepting the false interpretation that the moral law of God changed somehow when Christ died on the cross. Let me tell you tonight that the moral law of God is a reflection of God's character. It's a reflection of His being. And the only time the moral law will change is when God is dead. And He ain't dead yet. God is alive. His law, His moral law is alive. And we are called to keep the commandments. And persevering saints keep the commandments of God. And when they do so, what do they find? It keeps them. It keeps you safe. It keeps you from the hour of temptation, and it keeps you in the means of grace by delighting in the law of the Lord. I know I've said it umpteen times in this pulpit, but it's my illustration that I must use, that my all-time advice to any young Christian when they say, how do I get my life to be a real Christian life? I say, the first thing you do is keep the Lord's Day. That's the first thing. If you keep one day in seven as a day for worship, for fellowship, for spiritual things, that will feed your soul, that will distinguish you as a Christian. Your very neighbors will know, your family will know, your friends will know. They'll know where to find you on Sunday. You'll be in church. And don't invite them to golf because they won't go. Don't invite them to do business because they won't go. They're Christians. They're keeping the law of God. And the law of God keeps us. And it puts that distinction between us and the world. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that you got the message that persevering saints keep the commandments of God. And of course, in doing so, the Lord is keeping them. And that's the wonder of it all, that the Lord keeps us as we stay in the presence of the Lord and serve Him. And so, as we give ourselves to God's word, as we seek to be obedient to the will and the command of God, then He, by His grace, keeps us in His will. There's no other way for a Christian than to be obedient. If you stray from the law of the Lord, if you do your own thing, if you disobey God, can you expect Him to keep you in your folly and in your waywardness? No, it is the call of God that we live holy, that we live according to His will, and we do so by searching out His word and following His commandments. And those 10 commandments are a summary for us to be a wonderful guide. It's not the will of the Lord that we be idolatrous. It's not the will of God that we blaspheme His name. And so we keep His commandments. Thank you for being a part of our program. Right now we're coming to the announcements for today. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Let me invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6, as we minister God's Word. On Sundays we have a series on the seven sayings of the Savior on the cross. This will lead us right up to Easter. And of course, this series gets us right into the heart of the death of our Lord Jesus on that cruel cross. So join us Sundays at 10:30. And then on Sunday evenings, we're still ministering in the book of Revelation. And I hope that you'll come as we learn of the sights and sounds of heaven. That's here at our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, on the corner of 58th Avenue and 188th Street, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. You can find all this information on our website if you go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get all the information you need about our radio broadcasts, how you can hear them again, and how you can join us in our church services. We also webcast our Sunday services so that you can view and listen on your computer or device from home. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher inviting you to be a part of our program day by day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., also Sunday mornings at 9:30. For all this information, go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and join us again as we let the Bible speak.